I'm back. Welcome back to the podcast that doesn't judge you in the morning. We still respect you, no matter how you look. I'm your host, JC. What the hell is a JC? I still keep getting that question. Why JC if your name's not even JC? Well, the first letter, J, is part of my name, but not the C. But I would explain what my podcast is at. JC is a video game character from the game Deus Ex. And that I consider that game to be one of the best video games and most awakening games. More like a red pill awakening video game in the history of video games. You know what's going on right now with coronavirus or the China virus, how many people want to call it. I call it either way. Whatever. I really don't care. What's going on right now is pretty much the whole plot of that game. So, you know, there's a virus. The virus originated in Hong Kong and it gets spread throughout over the world. But the thing is that in the game, the virus was created by this secret society to control the human population. And who knows, maybe this virus was created by some secret society here in the real world. But we don't know. We really don't know. That would be just more like a conspiracy theory. But yeah, this is pretty much what the whole plot of the game was, and that's why that game woke me up. Like you know, we have an awakening, like an enlightenment. Yeah, that was my enlightenment. That was part of my enlightenment. Then after a while, I wanted to learn more. I wanted to know more. I wanted to know what's really going on in the world that I live in, and are we blind, or do we have like a veil in our eyes that prevents us from seeing what's really going on, or are we just too distracted in the things like entertainment and social media that are keeping us away from the reality of the world? So that's something that I've been trying to look into and search, and I'm still learning. I'm doing my research. I'm reading books. Anything that I can find, I'll pretty much read, because I really want to know what's going on. But so many things have happened in the past weeks. First, we had the first presidential debate between Biden and Trump. It was awful. Trump just kept talking over Biden, and it was just a big mess. You know, I think the vice presidential debate was a little more civil. But hey, look, Biden and Kamala Harris just keep attacking the Trump administration for how they're dealing with the coronavirus, and how they're dealing with taxes, and how they're only helping the rich, and so on and so forth. But I was looking at that, and I was like, hey, Kamala Harris, shut your pie hole. Look at your state. Look at California. Look what's going on here right now. You know, we have a high increase of homelessness in California. To top it off, that now we have high taxes in California, and then you're causing people to leave California. There's like a mass exodus in California right now. You know, back then California used to be that state that everybody wanted to go to back in the mid 1800s, because they had gold and everybody wanted to come and look for gold. And then later, after the 20th century, California was still one of the states that you wanted to go to. Like, we remember when the Dust Bowl and the Hoover Dams and all of that, the Great Depression stuff. Well, many people from the Mideast migrated to California. Why? Because California always had jobs. Agricultural jobs, mining jobs, yeah, that kind of stuff. So many people were migrate to California. And now look at California now. California is becoming a state that pretty much everyone's trying to leave already because of their bad government and policies and taxes. But the people that are leaving are not liberals. The people that are leaving are conservatives. And the only people that can make a difference in California is the conservative side. And what I say is, why are you guys leaving if you guys are the resistance? You guys are pretty much favoring the other group. instead of staying here and fighting. And sooner or later, the people that are, that let's say, are more liberal than conservative, sooner or later they're going to realize how bad of politicians are the Democrats. And not to say that the Republicans are also bad politicians, because I think in the world of politics, it doesn't matter which party you're in. There's still corruption. There's still bad influences and things like that. But for the people that are like conservative and they want to rescue their state from bad government policies, I say, well, you guys are the resistance and then you guys are leaving. So, I mean, are we just going to let California go into ruins? But that's something for Kamala Harris. This is what's going on in your state, and for you to criticize Trump and Mike Pence, it's kind of like hypocritical of you. Look at your own. It's like the saying, you know, when people say, you know, before you judge somebody else, make sure that your house is like clean. So yeah, that's pretty much what Kamala Harris is doing. But the whole debates were just like outrageous. They were like, the questions were just like, they were not even, the questions were more about social and some personal or like some few economic questions, but they're not telling us the real problems that Americans need to focus on. They're just doing some, I don't even know what they're doing, and it's even hard to explain. Also, the vice presidential debate, it was just horrible. Everything was just, you know, I think this election, there's going to be fraud. And there's going to be interference from other countries. I mean, people got mad because supposedly Russia meddled in the U.S. election. But even if they, well, it's already proven that they didn't. But there's a lot of countries that have an influence in the U.S. election, but they just don't want to say it because they own the media. We already know China has influence in the media and in Hollywood and social media. Anything, yeah, China has influence. So how come nobody talks about that? How come the Democrats don't bring that to their concerns? I don't know what's going on with them, but yeah, that's happening. And aside from that, we also had, supposedly Donald Trump had the coronavirus or the China virus, and I think it was supposedly a fast recovery. He said that he was feeling great and now he's doing rallies. So, but I knew that if he had the virus, if he actually did, you it would be like the, I think it was the some in Iran, there was this politician. I think he was in the prime minister. He was the secretary of something. I forgot what it was, but he gave a speech, and he had the virus, and you could tell that he was sweating, he was coughing, and so yeah, if he had the virus, yeah, you would see him like that. But no, he would just, I guess he didn't show those effects. Maybe he's immune to the virus. Maybe he's got the good genes, but I think he tested positive for the virus, but I already know that the tests are not accurate. I mean, it's like a 50% chance that it's going to be correct. So probably it was just a false reading. And talking about the tests for the coronavirus, I've heard stories of people telling me that, you know, they had a friend or a family member who went to go get tested for the virus. And then there was one story where the people that they went, but they only filled out the form or something like that. But then they didn't actually get tested. They decided to leave. So then later, I think a few days later or a few hours, I'm not sure if it was a few hours or a few days later, turns out that they tested positive even though they didn't do the test. So, you know, this is how messed up and false the readings for the tests are. But I already know why states want to make sure that they have a lot of positive coronavirus cases, because the federal government is willing to give money for every case a state has. And on top of that, any person that also dies for the virus, they also receive money. So I could tell this is why states want high positive. Even if it's fake, they still want it. They want to receive the money. But that's politics for you. All right? That's really that's politics for you. And it's already been shown that I think like 90% of the people who died from supposedly having the COVID-19, they died from pre-existing conditions. And then I think it's like only like a 6-7, I don't know. It's just a few percent of people who actually died from the virus. So yeah, you can really see what's going on. That's when I look at CNN, ABC, all these other news medias, and they start talking about what's like the count. It keeps going up. We have millions. We have hundreds of thousands of people dying. You know, I just look at it. You know. I don't know if it's just a scare tactic. I don't know what it is, but we already know that the tests are false reading. And this is not to say that, you know, some people do, because some people do have the virus, some people do get it. But this is not to, like, say that the virus is not dangerous, because it probably is dangerous. Maybe it's not even that dangerous. This probably, to some people, it might be bad, to other people, it might not be that bad. But that's what's been going on in the past weeks. And then, and also Trump's taxes, and when he was asked in the debates about his taxes, if he's going to release them, and who does he owe money, and how much does he pay, and this and that. Even the vice president, they asked him that question. And yes, he's a businessman, but if you would have asked me that question, I'd say, hey, look, I don't like paying taxes, and you shouldn't either. I would have gotten away with saying that nobody likes to pay taxes. But I don't know, many people just are like, just right there, pushing for the tax, and I believe his taxes already got released or something like that, which turns out that he owes money. But even if he owes money, or, you know, I think that that's more like a personal question when you ask. I mean, I'm pretty sure you don't go anywhere. Oh, where are your taxes? You know, like, show us your taxes to make sure. You know, that's something that you would even get mad if someone asked you about that. But that's pretty much what's been going on in the past week, and there's probably more to come. This election is just going to, it's going to be one for the history books. This is going to be an election that's going to be talked about throughout the years. And I'm daring myself to say this, that if, due to what's going on right now, due to the media, due to the virus, I feel like Trump might lose. It is not going to lose because of, he's not going to lose because he was a bad candidate or something like that. He's going to lose because it's going to be fraud. Right now, everybody favors Joe Biden, and Joe Biden has the support of the media and some foreign countries. So I wouldn't be surprised if Trump loses this election. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but we'll just have to see. So today's topic is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be more on the philosophical, even though this podcast has nothing to do with maybe a little bit of a philosophy, but I'm focused more on government issues and policy and economics and world affairs, stuff like that. But right now I'm going to talk about what is freedom. And maybe this freedom could be aligned with politics, since you need a foundation, a philosophical foundation, to make a nation. You know, you gotta have your ideas. So, what is freedom? Like, are we actually free? Or is it an illusion of us to think that we're free, but in reality we're not free? So freedom, on a basic term, people would say, freedom means you're free, you're not a slave. If you want to do something, you can do it. If you want to go somewhere, you can go. You don't have to tell people what you're doing, or nobody owns you. You know, that's pretty much what many people think about freedom. And then in the old times, let's say like around the early 1950s, like around 1950s, 1960s, and around those times, freedom meant somebody that had a career, had a house, could afford to pay medical expenses and that sorts of things. That was considered true freedom. But then the freedom has been evolving now as we have a rise of small businesses, of online businesses and social media, and if you become a YouTuber, you're pretty much your own employee. You know, you work for yourself because you got to create content. So now freedom turned into this new idea that true freedom means your time, your being able to, if you want to say, I don't want to work tomorrow. Okay, you know, nothing bad is going to happen because you're your own employee. So time, not working, if you decide to take a 2 weeks vacation out of nowhere, then, you know, you could do that. Because we already know, like, if you work for a company or for a warehouse or anywhere, you can't just be like, oh, you know, I'm not going to come to work tomorrow, or I'm not going to come to work for a week. They're more likely going to fire you. So that's why people say that freedom is your time and be able to make decisions out of thin air. So that's what it has evolved to now. But I say to that, it's kind of true, but you're just missing one point, that you're still not supposedly free as you think you are. And that is, if you're a YouTuber, or you work in an entertainment business, or if you have your own business, you know, you have a multi-billion company, well, now multi-trillion company like Apple or Amazon or those kinds of things. I mean, those kinds of companies. I say, you are free with your time. However, you're not free with what you could say, with your speech. You have to be careful what you say because you don't want to upset your customer. So are you really free, or do you think you're free? And my argument will go with saying that true freedom does also mean that you are able to express yourself and not have any consequences for what you say. So for example, if you're like a small business owner, and let's say you support Trump, because apparently that's controversial somehow. I don't know why, but it's controversial. So if you're a small business owner or a big tech company, and you say, I support Trump, I think he's doing great, he's one of the best presidents, and he should win this 2020 election. And don't get me wrong, there's some people that do have come out, some celebrities that have come out, but the reason they don't get much backlash is because, well, you know, he's kind of like, he's kind of like somebody that never cared what he said, and we already have the picture of him or her saying that, oh, you know, we would expect that from them. You know, we would expect that from Mike Tyson. We would expect that from Ice Cube. We would expect that from Kanye West to say something like that. So that's why they don't get too much, like, hate when they say something like that. But let's say Tom Hanks, someone that everybody likes, if Tom Hanks came out and say, hey, I'm a Trump supporter, you know, he would start, pretty much his whole career would be over the moment he says that. Or like if The Rock came out, or any celebrity, or Taylor Swift, who is a Democrat. Well, she, on the 2016 election, she said she registered Democrat. But even if she came out and said, hey, I'm a Trump supporter, yeah, you know, her whole music career would be over right there. And if you look at what's really like how a business or like a business owner has to be careful what they say, no, that shows that you're not really free. Actually, it was a story on Google. There was an article that some Google employee did. I think he was an engineer or some sort, and then back in 2015, 16, I want to say, somewhere around there. I just forgot the name of the article, but the article had to do something about the sexes, you know, like male and female. How come supposedly there's like a pay gap, you know, wage gap between male and female employees and that sort of thing. And it had many attention. You saw women going out and protesting about the pay gap and all of that. And what this engineer of Google did, he wrote an article explaining why brain differences in men and women is the reason why there's not an equal representation of men and women in the workforce. So, and he pretty much got fired for that article, for what he said, you know, brain differences. And, you know, we have a, and then we were at that time back then that, oh, there's no difference between men and women when it comes to brains and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But there's some people like me that say, no, you know, there actually is a difference. You just don't want to admit it. You want to make us all equal, I guess. But yeah, he got fired for that article. Then I don't even know what he's doing nowadays. He probably like, he probably regrets doing that. But that's the thing that I'm saying. These people got to be careful what they say. And something that I will always argue for is, you know, when people, you know, when you apply for a job and in your job, it says, you know, when you're filling out the application, it says, oh yeah, we're a company that doesn't discriminate anyone against their sex, religion, gender, all that, you know, you don't discriminate against any of that, where you come from, your language, all of that. Well, I say they should put something new now. They just say, we're an employment, we're a company that doesn't discriminate anybody about sex, religion, gender, blah, blah, blah. But also put, we're somebody that doesn't discriminate anybody against political views. Because if you really look at that, people have gotten fired for their political views. Or for their ideas, you know. And I say that that's something that shouldn't happen. You have people from Google and Apple and Amazon who believe some certain political view, and then they post it on social media. And then you know how social media is, you know, once they see something outrageous, quote, outrageous, everybody starts like flipping out, and then everybody starts responding to that tweet or that post. And then people are like, oh, how come Google or Amazon or Apple or Microsoft, how come they hire people like these, you know, I'm so offended and blah 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 and blah blah blah. And then what is, if it gets too much attention, what do these companies end up doing? Well, they end up firing them. And that's something that I say I don't agree with. I say that nobody should be fired for their political beliefs. This is what the company should do to the consumer. These are our employees. We hire them based on their skill. Anything they decide to put on their social media, anything they decide to believe in, when it comes to politics, you know, that it's their own. All right. Their job is not going to be on the line just because they said something or they believe in something that you might have not agreed with. And I get it, why companies, I mean, when it comes to corporations and that, you know, they take in account they have in mind their investors, people that their shareholders, they have, those are the people that they worry about. So if just to protect the shareholders, they have to fire controversial employees, which I don't agree. And this is why I say these people that are rich don't really have the freedom, because their whole company could fall just for one tweet that they posted. So, what is really freedom? If you look at the economist Friedrich Hayek, I believe that's his name, he believed that true freedom was a free market and that government shouldn't be touching anything that has to do with the economy. They say that the economy should run on its own and let the businesses and the competition flow. But then we have problems with that, because even though I'm a believer in capitalism, I know that monopolies could arise. And then who's going to be there to regulate the monopolies if anything should happen like that? And I don't get me wrong, I believe in capitalism and I believe in the free market, but you know, even I have to admit that there are problems to it if we don't have like an invisible hand, like like what Adam Smith said, the invisible hand. But that was freedom according to Frederick Hayek. But then if you look at the book 1984, it has a famous quote that says, slavery is freedom. So even though we feel free, like all of us, I'm talking about in general, like all the people in the world, we feel free, but we're not really free because we work for companies, warehouses, we have jobs technically. And like I was explaining earlier, you know, when a rich person says, oh, I want to take a vacation, they're able to do that. So that's a bit of freedom. But for us, if we say, oh, I'm going to take a vacation for like 2 weeks and I'm not going to show up, you're more likely to be, they'll tell you, no, you're crazy. You know, you're not going to do that. If you do that, we're more likely going to like let you go. So this is why we're not truly free. And the problem goes way deeper than that. You know, we may live in this society where supposedly it's funny, we're like in this country where we admire freedom and freedom about having freedom to express ourselves, freedom to talk. But yet, the things that we do or things that we say is just like, where's the freedom at? We have the thought police over here patrolling us for our minds. We have corporation. We're technically slaves to corporations because, look, I work, right? And we all work. And then if we're looking at the break room or if we're going out since when our shifts is over, and then we see like a paper that says mandatory overtime, you know, and then if you don't go, then you're going to pretty much be let go. So this is why in 1984, this is what it was referring to. You know, you're living paycheck to paycheck. You're giving your time to a corporation that only pays you a minimum wage salary. And this is not to give a bad rep for minimum wage. I'm somebody that believes that we should have no minimum wage. We shouldn't be having a $10-$15 minimum wage. I don't believe in minimum wage. I believe that an employer should pay you based on the skills and the difficulty of problems you're able to solve. That's what I believe. And I have a whole argument for that, but I'm not going to go into that. But yeah, this book, 1984, gave us the perspective that even though we think we're free, we're not really free. So what would freedom be like? What would freedom be like? And this is not to be religious or anything, you know, because this is not, you know, many people are like, oh, you know, how to find freedom in Christ. No, but this is not, this podcast, this whole video wasn't meant for that. This video is how do we find freedom then? And I would explain that for me, freedom would be something that you're able to say what you want and not have any, and you shouldn't be having consequences, or your business or your job shouldn't depend on what you say. I say that that's freedom, being able to say what you want to say and not be, and of course you're going to be judged, or people are going to have an argument, a counter argument for your idea. And then we welcome that. We welcome counter arguments. And like I said earlier, if your argument is better than mine and I don't have a better rebuttal for your argument, then I am forced to believe whatever you're believing. That's just how it is, because I believe in truth. I believe there can only be one truth to many things. For so if let's just take a basic example. Does God exist? You know, both ideas can be like, some people are going to say yes, some people are going to say no. Both can be right. There's always, it's always got to be one objective truth. And that's what I believe. I believe in objective truth. And I believe in objective freedom. I don't know, that's just a term that I just invented right now, objective freedom. But yeah, you shouldn't be, you know, you should have the freedom. That's freedom to me. Be able to say what I have to say. And it's funny that we're in the US and now we can't even make fun of China because I don't know if you guys heard about the story when this basketball player James Harden made fun of China. I think it says some comments about China, and then he was forced to apologize. But then we have the NBA here just bowing and going, taking a knee for the national anthem and criticizing the Trump and all this. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of ironic how in a free country you're not even able to be free. That's something that how do we let it get there? And we already know that part of the reason is corporations and social media and how much of a company foreign countries have influence in. And in the last podcast that I did about China, how they're influencing our society, I explained how the money that they give to these colleges, how they have influence in what they teach and what they say and in the books. So yeah, you could kind of start putting the pieces together of how in a free nation we're not able to criticize other countries. And then those companies and then those universities that receive money from these countries, they're the ones that are going to defend those countries. They're going to defend China. They're going to defend Saudi Arabia. They're going to defend Venezuela. They're going to defend Russia. They're going to defend those countries and their leaders if one of their employees or even the government criticizes them. So yeah, we're in a big mess, and freedom is really not, I don't even believe that true freedom exists. Like, I want it to exist, but I don't even know if true freedom really exists.